Blog Talk Radio.
As we journey through this book, we will uncover, unfold, discover, reclaim, destroy, lift up, cleanse, and heal, making our vagina a sacred place from which love and peace emanate. Healing and shifting our universe as we send beauty into the world. We will heal all that comes into our cosmic, energetic, and physical space with our mind, body, and spirit. This journey is going to take us to places that we forgot, that we didn't want to revisit, but that we carry with us everywhere we go. Ladies, this is serious work. This is loving work. This is healing work. You are queens, goddesses, and mothers and creators of this earth. Let's walk fearlessly as we heal thyself, overcoming the angry vagina.
I am the girl.
Welcome, ladies, to the Overcoming Book Read. And for those gentlemen who might be joining us as far as listening is concerned, welcome, family, to tonight's show. I am your host, Monique Nubia Sunshine, and I am so grateful to be able to come again today. I find myself on radio so often, I don't even, it's like a no-brainer for me just to be able to do all of this and not have those nervous butterflies like I used to have when I first started. So thank you again all for joining us this evening as we read and we talk more about overcoming the angry vagina. We're going to talk about the stories, and we're going to go into Portal 2 and just read a little bit of the stories. And then I have loads of questions that I do want to ask this evening just to get us to spark more conversation in reference to what we're gaining from this book and what we're gaining overall from our journey from Sacred Woman to Overcoming the Angry Vagina. Some of the questions might be redundant because we have a lot of new people who have joined with us. So for some of my regulars, don't be surprised if you hear some of the same questions that you may have answered some time ago. I think it's very beneficial for all of us to be able to share our journey with those who don't know or don't know how to go about speaking on theirs. It is inspiring and encouraging. And if anyone feels uncomfortable with sharing their stories, that's understandable as well, because we are on a live radio, and sometimes it may be difficult for some of us to put all of ourselves out there. With what I am doing and the work that I'm doing with women and just with healing overall with people, I am an open vessel. So my journey and all my experiences that I have encountered over the years has prepared me to be able to share these things with others in order to open up those gates, not just to open up those gates for them, but also to resolve and have resolution with my past. It's cleansing. And I have no fear of what anyone could think or expect of me based on my journey and my experiences. So I am totally naked all the time. And so with that being said, I do want to give a disclaimer as well. If we get disconnected or if I get disconnected, because that seems to be almost the norm that has been happening with Blog Talk Radio these days, please stay on the line and I will do my best to keep you all posted in the event page as to what is happening. If we have to disconnect for any reason or cancel the show during the middle of the show, whatever the case is, I will keep you all posted as to what's happening. But in the meantime, we're going to send up positive vibrations, and we're going to know that the show is going to make it through its full hour. And I'm only giving an hour this evening and for the next couple of weeks only because I'm multitasking, making dresses, doing meditations. I have some new clients. I have some yoni breathing sessions. I have a lot going on, and I do want to divvy up the time between doing all those things and also preparing for a child to graduate from high school, which is a lot. There's a lot going on, but I can do it all. And so with that being said, I'm going to go to the book, and for those of the ladies who do have the book, I'm going to begin on page 62. I believe that's where we had left off the last time, and I'm actually going to read Common Ground, and I think we read this in one of our second shows that we did on this book read. I'm going to read it again for those who might be new to joining us, and it's called Common Ground. It's actually on page 63. Wombs bleeding, clotting hearts, weeping, wailing, hair done, face made up, nails manicured, dressed to the nines on the job, in the fields, in the factories, behind closed doors, behind the veil, we are on common ground. Praying in the church, kneeling in the mosque, squatting in the seat, in the sweat lodge, singing in the cathedral, meditating in the shrine, and all the while our wombs are screaming, we are on common ground. From everywhere, deep inside, corporate workers banging on the glass ceiling, blue-collar workers doing a day's work for a day's pay, city workers going by the rule, freedom fighters and entrepreneurs, mothers and daughters suffer from the same conditions passed down through generations. We drag around our womb stories from one relationship to the next toxic womb condition. Womb disregard, womb disrespect, broke down, overused, exhausted wombs. We are rising in the east. We are facing the west, stretching out in the south, reaching for the north. We are on common ground. Womb stories hidden up under our dresses, latkes, shorts, and jeans. We wear our waist beads, pearls, diamonds, and moonstones, while tucked away behind our bladder in the privacy of a public center, years unresolved pain. Trapped in our toxic reality womb stories, bursting through our veins, reaching for relief, we carry our pain in our purses, backpacks, and clutch bags. Can we find ourselves? Can we find our common ground? All of us from the south of common ground and the north of deliverance and from the east of womb consciousness and the west of womb wellness, we are reaching for our womb recovery. We are women on common ground. We recognize one another. We draw together with our differences and our sameness to tell our stories. Our tears pour from our wombs and fall to the ground, common ground. The answers flow onto the dirt, onto the wood, onto the marble, onto the parquet floors. Our common ground becomes sacred ground where our medicine grows. Out of our tears, redemption flows here on common ground. That was beautiful, and started to tear up already about it. it's powerful because even though some of us have been on this journey for quite some time, it still moves me. It still brings me to tears. It still brings me to, because now, you know, it brings me to a sad place and a place of liberation all at the same time. For those who are being liberated and being healed, in the process of healing, it brings me tears of joy. And for those who are still lost and still trying to find their way, it brings me tears for them because I'm there sometimes. Sometimes I'm there with them, and sometimes I'm in liberation. And so I find myself more in liberation now than I've ever been, and it feels good. But when I do find in the comfort of another sister who is seeking healing, I hurt for her and with her. So it's very difficult with that back and forth, but I know that there is healing. There was a television show, and someone had posted it to Facebook. There's a television show called Doctors, where they were talking about how fibroids and all womb issues. And one of the sisters had posted about it, and she said, thank God for the work that Queen Afua is doing with us women, because we are going to challenge that. And I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with that. With the group that we have on Facebook, the Sacred Woman Journey, it is growing in numbers. Every day I find myself adding at least 20-plus more women into the group. And every time that I add another woman to the group, my heart shines because here is another sister who is going about her healing and is ready to do her healing. I get so excited about it because I love it, and I see it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, here's some more women, and all the numbers put together, and all the women that I see joining the group as we grow and we grow and we grow, it affirms to me that we are on the rise of our healing, and that everything that is happening that Queen Afua is working with sharing with us, we are sharing with other sisters. We are sharing with our young sisters. We are sharing with our older sisters. We are sharing with so many women. And it is changing the dynamic of everything that we're doing. We have women who are in the business of healing more than I've ever seen in my entire life. And it brings me so much joy. I can't express the love that there is amongst all of us women. And it's so many of us doing so many different things, but the same thing. Like yesterday, I wanted to mention that there was a young lady who was on one of my sister shows, the Queen Me show. And she was a young lady who blogs about dark-skinned women. And she has a book and a couple of other things that she has coming out talking about dark-skinned women and just, like, raising the vibration of acknowledging our dark-skinned sisters. And then at the same time, she had some anger with some hip-hop artists about the women that they were dating. And so she was angry about it, and she said she was angry about it. And you can hear the anger in her voice. You can see the anger in her videos. It's a lot of profanity and a lot of things that really spoke to me. And above getting angry with her or being angry with her, I saw her as my little sister. And my little sister was hurting. And so the one thing that we learn when we start going on this journey and we start learning about angry vagina and sacred woman and how to cleanse and heal ourselves, we start to see bits and pieces of us and other women, especially when they start to act out. And I saw a bit of me, but I saw my baby sister, because my baby sister is the darkest of all of us. And when we were coming up, she was teased by not just friends, the people who called themselves friends, but family members. More particularly, my brother would tease her. And he would tease all of us. So the ones who were lighter, we got called names that reflected negativity on that end, and then she got called names negativity on her end. And those things stick with us. And we walk with it, and in every relationship we take it with us, and whether it be a friend relationship or a romantic relationship or a relationship with our children, we take it with us. I also grew up with a grandmother who was very dark, and my sister resembled that part of my family who grew up sort of perpetuating that self-hate and probably didn't realize it in the way that she treated some of us who were fair-skinned. And this happens in our communities with the type of abuse that comes with being a person of color. And it's difficult, but a lot of that is dealing with angry vagina as well. It doesn't have to directly deal with the physical aspect of the vagina, but the womanhood and the woman of who you are dealing with that. And I tend to find it happening more amongst the sisters than the brothers. Brothers perpetuate it in other ways. But what tends to happen is it gets harbored up, and all the anger and frustration of what we go through gets harbored up in our womb and our creative space, and illnesses and diseases occur from that. So when I saw this beautiful young sister spewing out all this anger, my heart immediately wanted to go and heal her and not be mad at her, but heal her. And so, because you, it's obvious when you become a healer or when you become someone who is healed from your situations, it's obvious when someone is hurting. You can almost smell it from their brain before it comes out of their mouth that there's a healing that needs to be happening. And it becomes so identifiable that you almost see it in anything that is chaotic and out of control. You know it needs the healing. So that anger is there. And it's anger on so many different levels. So when we talk about solidarity and working with our sisters, we have to be able to identify those things. So what Queen shares in the book is some stories, and the stories kind of help link these things together as well, help see other angles of where women have come from in their pain and in their journey. And so I'm going to read one of the stories that says, change begins with me, and it's on page 66. Constantly I have heard, change begins within. Oh, this is basically one of the sisters, I just want to say, one of the sisters that worked with Queen Afua, and she talked about her change. I constantly heard that change begins within. My cleansing work has opened the way for me to heal spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. It has been about 5 years since I gave this testimony. Most importantly, I understand my healing process is truly is a journey. Sometimes the journey is lonely, sometimes confusing, oftentimes scary and grueling, but it has its sweet rewards. I have gained access to ultimate VIP pass into my inner self, my higher self. I love that. I'm going to say that again. I love that. I have gained access to the ultimate VIP pass to my inner self, my higher self. More that are just waiting for me to blossom and to shine like the moonlight that I am. My womb pains and traumas have a story of their own, a story that when shared will turn into gold. I have learned that there is value in sharing to help unlock the pain. When I shared in a safe and constructive environment, I was supported, strengthened, and freed. My testimony gave encouragement to others, and I am grateful to God, to my higher self, and to those who shared with me. They opened up my ears and my soul, and I'm grateful to Queen Afua for her steadfastness on her journey and her continuous service as a loving spiritual midwife to thousands of women. She serves as a stellar example of self-love and care. May all of us stay blessed. And she's Sacred Woman Tamira Heteru, and her name is Latyla Monique Palmer Lewis. And that was beautiful. We never know how profound this work is until we get to the point of true discovery. In the beginning of it all, it was really just an idea. And so before I open up the lines, I'm going to ask this question, and I probably asked the question before, and for those ladies who want to share, please do. It serves as inspiration. Your story is definitely inspiration for others. But I'm going to share my story first. And my first question is, when and how did your journey begin? So I'm first going to answer that question. When my journey began, in all honesty, my journey began when I was 39 years old, and that was in 2010. And my journey began, and how did it begin? It began because I was in a relationship with someone after leaving a long relationship, a long abusive relationship, and not as much physically abusive as it was mentally abusive, but balance, I learned the balance of it. Anyway, after I left that relationship, heading into my 40s, feeling a certain kind of way because I'm an older woman, never been married, feeling a certain kind of way. Even though I have two grown children, I still wanted babies. I still want babies. So I've participated in a relationship that was, let's just say, forbidden, from a place where I should not have never gone. And it was with a friend, a business partner and a friend. And it was something unexpected at first, but overall it was something that satisfied my soul at the time, approaching my 40s and feeling a certain kind of way of being this woman growing up into her, a woman of a certain age. And so not expecting anything from it, not expecting love, not expecting a romantic, a long courtship, expecting what it was. It was just a physical relationship, an intimate relationship. An intimate relationship that became reckless. And I got pregnant at 39 years old. And so I was, there was mixed emotions. I can't say I was happy. I can't say I was sad. I was probably more shocked than anything, especially since I have two younger sisters who were in mid-menopause, or both, not mid-menopause, but in early stages of menopause and couldn't have children. And in my family, early menopause is kind of hereditary on my mother's side. And so for me, I feared that. And so when I became pregnant, I was kind of like, that's a relief. But women who are menopausal can get pregnant. At the same time, it was just ignorance on my part to assume that. But at the same time, I wasn't in a position to have any more children. Especially being that the relationship that I was in with this person was just a relationship of casual physical content. And so I was like, I don't know what to do. Because one part of me was like, well, I'm 39. This is not going to ever happen again. And I've already raised two on my own. I don't have an issue with doing it by myself. And this is the backwards ass thinking that I've grown up with as a single mother, and got comfortable with it. So I was reasoning on a level that didn't make sense. And so, but then I also developed, or always developed in all my pregnancies, something called hypermesis. And hypermesis is when you have an overproduction, when your hormones are in overdrive, like super overdrive, where I can smell everything. And what happens is it produces excessive amount of saliva, so you can't. It makes it almost unbearable to swallow your saliva because it's just so much. And then what you manage to ingest also is extreme morning sickness. So I was vomiting all day long, and sometimes if I didn't eat, bile would come out my stomach. It was horrible. Behind that, in my first pregnancy, I became severely anorexic and had to be hospitalized for the first 3 months of my pregnancy. For my daughter, I had to be on IV for 6 months of my pregnancy because I just could not tolerate foods. Foods would not stay in my stomach. So because foods wouldn't stay in my stomach and I wanted to curb the sensation of vomiting, I stopped eating altogether, which developed the anorexia. And so with the vomiting, it also pulled out a lot of my teeth in the back. Well, I can't say a lot of my teeth. I still have all my teeth in my back. Maybe like three teeth in the back got really damaged because of the acids of my stomach fluids coming up all the time. It was just a horrible experience. And not to mention that with my pregnancies, it was like I did them alone. The person who I was in relationships with, just bad choices, was not there. They were there afterwards, and they were there at the time that we were conceiving, but they were not there during the course of the illnesses. And I say not there in a sense of not physically being there to take care of me. They'll be in and out of checking on me and that kind of thing. But no real loving support that made me feel like that I couldn't get up on my own and have to do things for myself. So my journey began a long time ago, but I recognized my journey at 39, and it started to happen all over again. And so with that journey, the decision to terminate the pregnancy was inevitable because I was getting extremely sick. And I also was, like I said, in this relationship, my career also was taking me to China for a year, and I was like, I can't have a baby in China. I had to, like, rationalize all these things and put my womb on the line because, in essence, terminating pregnancy put the womb on the line. And behind that, developing scar tissue and developing being infertile for quite some time because of the scar tissue blocking anything going in and out. So menstruals were coming, but I didn't know they were coming because nothing was coming out. And I was developing this huge bloating that I didn't even know was menstrual inside of me, not leaving. So I was sick inside, and my womb was rebelling, and she was screaming, and my vagina was angry, and I didn't know it. For a good 6 months to a year, I didn't know that's what was happening. I thought, you know, they did something wrong. They tied my tubes. They did something jacked up inside my body, and this is what's happening, until I had a midwife tell me what was going on. And so through that process, not trusting the medical community, growing a great distrust, I had decided to take things into my own hands. And that was the beginning of my journey. And I had to go back. So with all that being said, me being candid and open and honest about it, it helped me release so much. And I still release. And to this day, I've been in this, on this journey, I have healed the scar tissue. I have overcome most of the anger. There's still some anger there, but I've overcome most of the anger that keeps me in extreme, that kept me in extreme amount of pain that I couldn't even get up and walk. I would crawl to the floor. I would crawl to the bathroom. I would crawl to the kitchen if I was in pain, and I wouldn't even know what to do. I would think I was dying, and I would just turn out the lights, and I wouldn't call anybody, and I would lay down on the floor, and I would just scream in excruciating pain for 2 days. And say nothing to nobody. I healed that. I got rid of that. And so I'm grateful, because not only was it just the journey with Queen of Four, but it was my journey into becoming a Reiki practitioner. It was my mother's death. It was the failed relationship. It was the growing and rebellious grown children. It was everything around me that was screaming at me, you better heal this thing or it's going to kill you. And so that started the beginning of my journey in healing my angry vagina. So with that, I'm going to open up the lines, and I'm going to ask the same question. If you're willing to share, please do. If you're not, please just say, you'd rather listen. I'm opening up the caller with the last four digits of 8037. Welcome.
Hello, Sister Nubia Sunshine.
Jeez, who's calling?
It's just the Sun Ra. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing just wonderful. Continuously blessed and always evolving. I'm so extremely humbled by hearing your story, sister, because so many of us have been through similar occurrences. And it's so beautiful for us to share. It really is.
It's in my spirit to share. I held on to a lot of things for a long time, and if I continued on that level, I would have continued to destroy my spirit. My spirit wanted to scream out, and my spirit wanted to help other sisters. You know, it's my purpose to do that. So I had to live my purpose in order to be honorable to myself and the Most High and my ancestors.
Yes, yes. I do feel it. I feel your energy, and I mean, it is beautiful, and I mean, it's very touching, and it's humbling, and it's so, it just makes me feel so connected. It's so beautiful. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Do you identify with this book, Overcoming the Angry Vagina?
I actually listened to a couple of shows where the author, she called in and she gave us an insight to a lot of her perspective in writing it. And as far as my personal perspective, there was a time in my life where I felt like, yes, it was here, it was free because of all the things that had happened to me growing up, you know, dealing with, let's say, sexual molestation, rape.
Yeah.
And the rearing of children and to be abandoned and still alone and wishing and wanting someone to be there. And, you know, it all just builds up inside of us. And then you reach this point where either it makes you or it breaks you.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I can definitely identify with it. And I've heard so many people, you know, there's no way a vagina can be angry. And you guys don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, the art's like, you don't understand the metaphysics that go into writing a book and giving your perspective of your life. You don't understand. Sometimes when someone says something literally, it's not meant to be as literal as you take it. It's meant to be taken if you can use it for yourself.
Absolutely. That's when we have to learn to use our perception and see beyond what is visually in front of us and understand it, but see it from a place of understanding metaphorically. And a lot of us don't have that depth and creativity and imagination to look at it that way when we are diving and delving in our own inner pain. It is only once that you come outside of that, then you can now realize and recognize the metaphoric meaning of it, you know. So it's very, very profound when you go through this journey. So I ask you, and you don't have to be as candid as I have been, but when did you know, or when did your journey begin, or when did you know it was time for you to begin your journey? Like, what triggered it? And you don't have to be very detailed.
When I was pregnant with my last child, my son, he's 4 years old now, my ex-husband and I, we were going through a lot of ups and downs, and it was basically because we could not see eye to eye. I would tell him the entire, I mean, during the pregnancy, before I found out that I was pregnant, there was this point where I told him, we need to separate. It's not working out. I need to be on my own so I can find myself because I feel like something is not right with me. And he took it as me wanting to abandon him and abandon the relationship, and we already had 2 children together. I was like, no, I just need some time where I can find out what it is that I want. And when I discovered that I was pregnant, I went through this huge depression, and I just pretty much balled up, and I didn't want to share. I started having all these strange dreams and premonitions, and before I gave birth to him, I went through illness after illness. I was severely anemic. I had to have blood transfusions. I mean, there were so many things going wrong with me. I mean, there were multiple. I had preeclampsia, my blood pressure would shoot up really high, and while my blood pressure was high and I'm anemic at the same time, I would have all kinds of hallucinations, and they were like, oh, it's just, you know, your blood levels, you need to have another blood transfusion. The things that I was seeing, though, was me getting away from it all and really finding myself and where I needed to be, because my family was like, oh, you need to come to church, you need to do this, you need to do that so you can get right with the Lord because you don't know when your last day was. And I was like, no, it's not telling me that I need to go to church to find the Lord. It's telling me that I need to be digging deeper within myself to find out where it is that I came from so that I can find out where I'm supposed to be going.
Wow. So through you discovering your journey, how has your mate have been able to help you or during that time, or just even now, what has your mate or anyone who is in your life in that capacity, how have they been able to help you?
My husband and I, we called it quits after my son was born, but shortly after, when I was going through my journey, I encountered a very kind and very sensitive soul. He was the one who showed me the light. He was the one who dropped the breadcrumbs. He was the one that told me that I need to be searching within and not really paying attention to what everybody else was trying to teach me, but listen to my body, listen to my soul, and see what you know, my story has to teach me. He was the one that gave me that inspiration to dig within, because I was seriously listening to everyone else instead of listening to myself.
Yeah. Wow. The amazing power of a man being supportive of a woman who is going through something is so powerful. I envy that experience because I was robbed from having that too. Love through both of my pregnancies and dealing with the illnesses by myself. Thankfully, my babies were strong and healthy babies, but to have that connection with someone during your pregnancy And for them to be there with you, especially when you're sick and you're carrying a child, is something that I've always longed to have. And at the capacity of where I was sick, where being having to be hospitalized, having to be put on IV just to get nutrients because I couldn't hold anything down, and I still had to learn how to use the IV and disconnect it and take my son to the bus stop and then put it back on and use the epinephrine or heparin or all these other things that I had to do to open and close the veins. And I had to learn all this stuff, carrying my daughter and taking my son to school while I was still in a relationship with someone who was not attentive to what my issues were. I look up to those women who had that support, and I also honor the men who stay with their women and care for them and nurture them and have that understanding, and those brothers who can step in and work and build together a loving, cultivating a loving environment, not just for the loving of that woman, but for the health of those children. You know,
yes.
It's so important that our mates support us on our journey. And even though they're, you know, I know for some instance, some women, some husbands on a different path, it's nice to have that collaborative journey so that you're both growing together. And it's something that we need to encourage in our community. But thank you so much for sharing. I'm going to open up some more callers. We have a lot of callers in queue. So I thank you so much, and please continue to listen.
Yes, thank you, sister.
You're welcome. Peace and blessings. All right. I'm going to open up a caller with the last four digits of 3635. Welcome.
Hello. How's everybody doing tonight?
Very good. Who's calling?
Good. This is Dana, and I'm calling from Cypress, Texas. I really appreciate everything that everybody is sharing tonight. It's inspirational for me, and it gives me the strength to talk about my journey and my story. And
yes.
your question was, when did my journey begin? My journey began when I was in my early 30s.
Okay.
And I was in a, you know, I've gone through years of different types of abuse, rape, neglect, and I found myself in a marriage that was dying, and I had been sick for a couple of years and come to find out that I had been being drugged almost near death. And
oh,
drugged to the point with date rape drugs.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, for me, that was when I found out. And for me, it was about waking up. It was about realizing that, you know, changes must occur. They must happen now. It was a life or death situation for me. So, you know, when did my journey begin? My journey began when I was near death, when I woke up, when life broke me. You know, I come to the point where I, you know, rebuilt my life, my sanity, my spirituality. You know, I've overcome a lot. You know, I've gone through a lot to bring me here.
Right.
But I'm blessed and I'm thankful. And I appreciate it. I appreciate my journey, you know, because I have a lot of blessings. I have a lot of things that I can help the world and help people with sharing my story, you know. And that gives me peace of mind. That gives me strength. And you know, I find that the more I do talk about it, the better off I feel and the more I heal.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's beautiful.
You know, so,
it's beautiful.
So you know, it was a rough situation, but you know, found a way to make it through. And if anybody can, if I can, anybody can.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that, sister. You know, it's so metaphoric in how you had went through what you went through as you talked about being drugged by a date rape drug that made you, put you in a certain state to awaken you. And how metaphoric is that? Sometimes we got to go to sleep in order to wake up. You know, and so especially when you talk about you had to be near death, sometimes some of us got to be on the brink of that ledge with that pinky toe holding on to that ledge, and something just swoops up and snatches us up and wakes us up. And sometimes for some of us, it has to take that particular thing to wake us up. Because sometimes during the course of that journey, there's still flashing lights, but because there's so many other things that are going on, we don't see those flashing lights. And then it gets to a point where the flashing lights are trying to tell you there's a ledge up ahead, there's a ledge up ahead, wait, watch it. And you get to that ledge and you just about fall, and something picks you up and brings you back and says, wake up. And it snaps something inside of us. And for everyone, is a different trigger point. For some people, it's standing on that ledge. For some people, it's the moments before you get to that ledge. For some people, it's not even reaching that ledge yet. And it's so metaphoric that what was happening to you, what was being done to you, was the very thing to spark your awakening. It is amazing how the divine works. It is amazing on how our womb and the energy of our bodies and what we connect to innately pulls us into an awakening. And for some people, the awakening is to leave here and have to come back and do it again, you know. But for many of us that are going through this journey right now, there's things that are shifting us. And sometimes a word that someone says can shift and trigger some things, and tears get to flowing and everything starts to open up, and now it's time. So I appreciate your journey and your story, and it led us all to this one divine place, talk about it and discuss it. So I honor you, sister, for that. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, no, I'm glad to share, and I love to help other people and speak with other people, and soon coming out with a series of books, self-help books, and
all right.
Books, poetry, you know, all different types of things. I found a passion in writing, you know, traveling mm-hmm. this journey, so I can share and help others like myself.
That is beautiful. Are you connected to me on Facebook?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Please post all your information, what you're doing, your poetry, anything that you want to share inspirationally to my page, and also the Sacred Woman Journey page. I will post it into the event page so that you can get connected to it. There's lots of love. There's lots of inspiration. There's beautiful women sharing stories of inspiration, sharing poetry, sharing everything, even resources to help us with certain things that we might want to handle for our own personal selves. There's so much love there. So please connect to that and share your love as well. We welcome
okay,
you.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I'm going to take another caller with the last four digits of, 4861. Welcome.
Hub chat, sister. This is Sister Latiqua. Hello, everyone.
Welcome.
I am just overwhelmed. Today has been one of those melancholy days where I won't allow depression to stay. Today is the fifth anniversary of my mother transitioning. However, it is also birthdays of new life that have come in between last night and tonight. So I'm learning to look at my glasses half full and not half empty.
Right. Right.
It's challenging. It is definitely challenging. But I've learned that if I smile through my tears will evaporate and my smile can sustain itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I can relate to some of the callers on this evening because I myself had a very challenging pregnancy and my mm-hmm. with my last baby. Some of you guys that are listening, if you know me from Facebook, you see me post pictures about myself fighting breast cancer 6 weeks after delivering my baby with Down mm-hmm. syndrome. And yeah, it's still hard because he still battles. With, hey, I'm talking about you, not to you. Be quiet. it's still because the support system that we expect is not the support system that we always get. Mm-hmm. I'm learning on today. I posted something on a cancer site that's affiliated with Facebook, and in 17 mm-hmm. hours, I had over 20,000 likes and over 600 comments on motivation.
Oh.
People
oh,
of
wow.
all colors, creeds, you know, backgrounds.
Yes.
And at
right.
the end of the day, they were telling me that I was motivating them, and when I posted what I was posting because they were motivating me. So I appreciated ancestors for building this level of atmosphere that even though my natural me wanted to be on my lower chakras, my environment that I allowed to manifest within my atmosphere kept me positive.
Right.
And so I now know that as I think, so I truly am. If I want to be higher, I have to think on a higher plane.
Yeah.
And if I allow the negative to attach and stay, it'll drag me down. So
can I ask you a quick question? Quick
mm-hmm.
question. You go on.
Yes.
Do you ever listen back to the shows that you are on?
Yes, I do.
You do?
And matter of fact, me and Sister Liz were discussing that earlier today. On yesterday's show, in regards
right.
to the sister that had the dark skin, light skin thing
yeah.
going on. My whole purpose of the call, that I make is that as much as I'm observing from the other callers and the previous callers and even the host of the shows like yourself and Liz and some of our other families that are on Blog Talk, I really want to give as much energy as I'm absorbing and allow places to be open to receive that information so that when I give that information, I'm given a good vibe and it's a circulation of great vibes and great energy.
Right.
And so in that, you know, we all can be uplifted. So
right.
I just want to send a word of encouragement. It is not what it looks like. Everything
right.
and that we go through day to day, sisters and even brothers, if you're listening, it's an illusion. Control your illusion. You have every right to own your own illusions and manifest
mm-hmm.
them to what you want them to be. And it is so much
yes.
power, and it is such a form of freedom to be able to know that, hey, it's raining outside, but it still can be a beautiful day. You know, I don't
right.
feel good starting off, but if I get up and take a shower and move around, I'll feel better by noon. We have to begin
right.
to implement the energy that we want. You have a post up on the I don't even remember what which one of our things that we're both affiliated with it's on, but it's one of yours that you say
mm-hmm.
we have to stop saying we're sick, and we have to stop saying that we hurt, and we have to stop saying all of these negative things because they actually impact us day to day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, long term. And so I just want to leave the callers and the listeners and the people that are in the news feed inspiration and motivation. Your change
mm-hmm.
is not coming unless you make it come. You have
right.
to change for yourself, and you have to expect change even when it looks like it's not coming. I love you all. Be encouraged, but most of all, be motivated.
All right. Peace. Thank you so much. The reason why I asked you, do you listen back at it, is because I want you to hear just you.
Oh, yeah.
And I say this because the power and what you
mm-hmm.
have is so tremendous. It is so healing.
Thank you.
It sets resolution in so many people. And I listen back at the show. Sometimes I listen multiple times, and sometimes I listen when I'm at work and I'll be at my desk in tears, and people at my job wondering what is wrong with her. But it's always like when I tell people to journal and read your stories back. Read yourself
right.
on paper, but listen to your audio. And I challenge every woman, even if it's something that you do for yourself, record yourself speaking to yourself or record yourself speaking to someone else in a positive manner and listen back to it. Listen to yourself and listen to the power in your voice. Listen to the authority. Listen to the words. Listen to how you express it and listen to how it comes across. And analyze yourself, and you'll start to feel the power that's within once you listen clearly. Or if you're going through something and you're speaking and you speak in negative, listen back at that because it also gives you insight as to what's going on. And a lot of times we don't see ourselves unless someone points something out. Why not
right.
bring that reflection back to yourself and look at yourself and examine yourself and get that angle as though someone else is, like you're someone else looking in on you. And you begin to see what is going on. You know, like
right.
the young lady that was on the show yesterday, all that anger I heard in her voice, I'm sure she didn't even hear it as she was speaking. But if she listened back to how she was coming off, I'm sure she heard that anger. And it makes you redirect because, like, well, damn, did I really come off like that? Can I
right.
really come off? And these people are being open and loving to me. And it makes you think. So that's why I encourage people to do that.
And it's funny that you would even bring that up because when me and Sister Liz was talking today in regards to that, because we had skimmed on that topic, I felt that sister in my womb. I felt that sister so strong. I felt her energy so strong, and it began to attack me. And I was like, my God, that was when I kind of got foggy-headed during that conversation when I called in because I allow my spiritual man to rise up. And that's what allowed me to teach her where she was at and let her know that even though you don't know me, I apologize.
Right.
I'm sorry that happened to you. And we as women, we have to sometimes allow not emotion, but our oneness to relate and emulate the energy
mm-hmm.
that we're so that we can, with our unconscious mind, help heal it. Because that's the process. The process is the healing. The process
yeah.
is, if you're hurting and I'm not hurting, it's my duty as your sister
right.
to let you pull from me. And the reason that you are in contact with me is because that is my position. It is, oh, that's not my problem. Yes, it is your problem because you're there. You're there in that
yeah.
moment in. So now that you're there in that moment in space, allow what people who aren't on that level, allow the God that's other in you to heal somebody using you, even if that means to draw your energy. God didn't give us this energy to just keep it to ourselves. He gave us this energy
right.
so that we share it. If my sister's
right.
down, it's my obligation to my sisters and my ancestors to uplift her. And even if I can't uplift her, I must encourage her to uplift herself.
Right.
That's my job. That is my
right.
job. That is my job as a woman. That's my job in the sisterhood.
Absolutely.
So I love you guys.
Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. You all are welcome, and I thank you all for allowing me to share this moment in time and space because it's sacred. It's
absolutely
very sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really appreciate you all. I really do.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm going to open up peace, love, and have a good evening, and kiss that little guy in the background.
I will. Thanks.
I'm going to open up another caller, and then I'm going to go back to the reading. I know we have a lot of ladies in queue, and I want to be fair to everyone and open up as many lines as I can. can possibly get to, because there is a bunch of them out there. I want to open up the caller with the last. Oh, geez, there's a bunch, and I just want to make sure I don't open up the same lines over and over. Last four digits of, let's see, 4565. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi. This is
welcome.
Oh, okay. Thanks for inviting me, Amelia. And this is my first time.
All right. You're welcome.
I have been listening, and I really don't know where to begin. I just don't know where to begin. Because right now,
No, go ahead.
No, I don't know where to begin because right now I'm in transition. I'm trying to, I'm just trying to understand everything. I know what my life was before, and I was stuck. And right now, everything has been unraveling in the past year. So I'm trying to understand who I am based on my upbringing and now at my point in my journey. I'm trying to figure out where to go.
Okay.
If you understand what I mean, because I'm 50 years old, and I come from a generation where my parents raised me to be, you don't ask questions. You just always follow. And I have carried that on throughout my life when I was in elementary, high school, and in college, and also in corporate America. So when these figures tell me what to do, I was always hesitant of asking why because of the upbringing. And over time, it had hindered me from expressing how I feel or even providing suggestions to allow me to grow as an individual.
So let me ask you, what brought you to the call this evening, and what do you know about overcoming the angry vagina?
Well, you invited me, and I'm so appreciative of that. Thank you. And I didn't know what to expect, and I've just been listening to the caller. And when I logged in also to the website, and at the time was reading, you know, what was going on to prepare myself or get the understanding of, you know, what to do or what to say.
Right. So what does identification with the angry vagina, what can you say that relates to you, that relates angry vagina or just overall, what type of healing that you believe you need to have done?
I think the type of healing that I need to be done at this point in my life is removing the fear barriers that I have and understanding what my strengths are and how I need to put them in the forefront. What would be my delivery? Because I'm always concerned about others more than me. It's more than me. And I think that's been going on a majority of my life because I don't want to step on nobody's toes. I don't want to offend anyone. But doing that, it has allowed me not to progress in my life and to be who Paul is.
Right, because when you don't want to step on nobody's toes, somebody's stepping on your toes and you can't move.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you have to first take you apart from everything and have time for you and love you completely and totally without feeling guilty about not giving someone else that energy right now. Right now, it's all about you. You are beautifully blossomed into a grown elder sister who can bring so much wisdom to the village. But that wisdom has to be nurtured by you. You have to go in. You have to grab hold of that woman. And you have to love on her hard.
Okay.
Hard. You have to give yourself, and I challenge you to do this, because we love ourselves innately because we say we love ourselves, but going deep in and going back to hurt, going back to why we are a giver, why we keep giving ourselves away, pieces of ourselves away to everybody else, and they're not giving anything back, and we don't have no fuel, and we got to keep having this strength to help everybody else. And what about me, and what about me, and what happens to me, and what do I do, and where am I going, and what's happening, what's going on? It's spinning so fast till you get to the point where you spin and you hit the ground. And when you hit the ground and you're looking for somebody to help you get up, there ain't nobody there to help you get up. And who helps you get up? How do you get up? How do you move? How do you move?
Yes.
You have to reach.
Yes.
You have to reach within. And you have to push everybody away for a minute. Because you need to get back to you. You are. You have all the strength in you because you was giving no strength to everybody else. Don't give it no more. And that doesn't mean, like I said, that doesn't mean be selfish to anybody. That means love on you, just you.
Okay.
Whether that means coming home from work or coming home from whatever you do during the course of the day and giving yourself a bath at night listening to your music. And ain't nobody allowed to come in that bathroom until you are finished. Don't nobody ever stop it. You put your music as loud as you want or as low as you want. You light your incense and you get your to zone it into you. You put on your favorite song, and you put it on rotation, and I don't care who gets angry. Play it.
Okay.
That's you.
Okay.
That's your moment.
Okay.
That's your recharge. That's your recharge.
And
you know, back to you.
And I needed to hear that, and I thank you for providing that to me, because that's where I'm stuck at. I'm stuck at the balancing point, I know I need to be first, but when situation occurs, I always say, well, I'm not at a point. The other person is a point for my kids. And although they are grown, but I'm still a mother, and I will always be a mother to them. But I just put that aside, and even when, like, it's at work, when I have bright ideas and others don't have it, I'm kind of hesitant to suggest that because I don't want them to feel like they don't have a voice. So I'm always just pushing myself back in order to please others, because I just feel like that's the right thing to do, but it's not allowing me to progress in my life.
But for who? Is it the right thing to do for them, or is it the right thing to do for you? Because, you see, I have grown children, too. I have a son who is married with 3 children, okay? And I have my babies young. And he has things that I had took ownership of that did not belong to me. Why am I taking your responsibility and putting it in my hands and making it mine? Why am I owning that? Then what happens to my responsibilities and what happens to me? And then what happens when your stuff is resolved and my stuff is staring at me in my face? It's not fair. It's not fair. We love them, and we will always be mothers. And I'm going to love you from a distance, baby. Handle your business because I taught you well. And that's how we have to love them. That's how we have to. I taught you well. You know how to do your thing? Do your thing. And you're encouraging them that way. And see, when I do that, when I get on the phone with my son, and my son tells me he's going through this, and I say, listen, you remember that time that you was trying to learn the bike, ride the bike, and you kept falling and scraping, and you got back up, and you tried it again, and you fell, and you got back up, and you tried it again? Do that right now with your situation, because you got that. And when he does it, he gets off the phone empowered, because I didn't help him. He had to learn to help himself. And that's what we have to do as parents, especially as women who've given so much of ourselves. And here we are in our upper 40s, 50s, and 60s, still giving? Still
yes.
giving? And don't
yes.
give back to ourselves? Uh-uh.
Yes.
You
and that's
where
I'm at
them,
now.
And
I'm,
you move
I'm 50. I'm 50, mm-hmm. and I gave so much. And now when it comes time for me to focus on my life, I'm just
yeah.
struggling with how do I start the process? How do I start the process? Because I still don't want to disappoint.
That's right.
Oh.
Well, you won't disappoint. You won't disappoint. You encourage them, and then after you encourage them, you turn up your music, your theme music, and you look in the mirror, and you dance to your, because you know he got this, and you know you got this, and that's your moment. And that's how you begin to celebrate you. And then once you celebrate yourself with that 3-4 minute song, then it becomes a 10-minute song. Then it becomes a 20-minute song. Then it becomes an hour song, and then it comes a half a day, and you got the half a day to take care of you because you gave the other half to everybody else. This is how we recharge and give back. And then you keep inspiring, because what happens is when you start giving back to you, you got that strength to say, okay, baby, you got this. You got this situation. This is what you do. Boom, click, and I'm done. And then you go back to you. And that's what we have to keep doing to fuel ourselves. You got it. You got it. Now let's make it work. Let's put it into action. Let's make it work.
Okay.
All
Ooh.
Right. Thank you.
One step at a time. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome. Many blessings, sister. I'm so glad you called.
Thank you. I'm glad you invited me. This is, I've just heard everybody's story, their journey, and
yes.
I'm just writing things down. We're like, okay, everybody is taking control. Just taking control.
Yes.
And that's what I need. Yes. I need control.
Well, Keith, and stay tuned. Stay tuned. Please stay connected with me on my Facebook page. And I'm going to put you a part of the group as well. We have inspiration. And you can always hit me in my inbox if you want to talk personally.
Okay.
I'm opening
okay.
myself up to you, love. I'm here.
Thank you. I love you. Love you.
I love you, too. Many, many blessings. Many blessings. I'm going to open up some more callers. Thank you so much. Oh, my gosh, my spirit is so filled up. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to open up some more calls before I start crying and before I forget the time, because I know we're coming very close to the top of the hour. Let me retreat back to the book really quickly, because I don't want to lose the momentum of where we are as far as the book is concerned. And I do want to announce for the ladies who don't have the book, we are reading from Overcoming the Angry and Angry Vagina by Queen Afua. It is an awesome book to begin our journey with. I began my book with Her Sacred Woman. I began with that. But this book is also awesome because it actually teaches us how to listen to other women's stories. And I think that's the most beneficial part of having sister circles and having sister circles like this interactively, and having some of the brothers listen, because some of the brothers don't know some of the inner and deep-seated pain that we go through, even with some of them that lay right next to us at night don't know those things that happened to us when we were younger, don't know how much we have to pull ourselves together in order to help everybody else, don't know the type of strength that it takes in order to be a woman to continuously take certain things and get rid of certain things. It is a lot. And with everything that we have, this organ of ours, this womb of ours that stores so much, and gives birth and brings babies here. And for those who haven't but still have a womb that still gives us life inside of us, the men us, our men and our counterparts and our brothers and our uncles and our fathers and our friends and our sons don't know the real pain that we go through sometimes when we're dealing with women issues. And it's important for our men to understand our women so that they can love us better. And we have to not be afraid to say, baby, I'm having some issues here. Can you please help me? You know, we can't be afraid to open up those parts of ourselves. We can give ourselves laying down with one another. We can talk dirty to somebody if we want to talk dirty. We can send pictures and we can be fresh, but we can't tell them our inner pain. We can't tell them our inner pain because we can't tell ourselves our own inner pain. And when we start telling ourselves our inner pain, we start expressing our inner pain to ourselves, and sometimes it's looking in that mirror. Sometimes it's that song that we play, and it starts to bring tears to our eyes, and it makes us feel a certain way. It opens up a gate. And then when we're sharing ourselves with our mates, we should be able to share those innermost pains because they are there for us, for those who have. So we have to open ourselves up. I'm going to read something really quick, and then I'm going to start to wrap up because we have like 10 minutes left. And I want to say apologies to all the ladies who are on the line who I've not gotten to, some of my regulars that I know have been on the line that I haven't gotten to, and I want to apologize to you all for that. It's been a lot of women on the line, and I did want to give some of the new ladies an opportunity to speak as their stories are so inspirational, and all of our stories are inspirational, and I'd love for everybody to speak. I wish I had more time, but I'm going to read something from the book by Queen Afua, and I think I have read it before, but I'm going to read it again because, like I said, a lot of the women are just new to this whole thing. Actually, Rochelle, my sister Rochelle, read this before, so I'm going to read it. No more, no more, no more. I reflect on a gathering of women with the courage to share within a womb healing circle. I said, women, you are connected to your wombs by the forces of nature. Your womb is aware of her natural medicine. Just ask and see. Go within, relax, breathe. Listen to what does your womb say and reveal to you. Within a womb healing circle, the women responded, my womb has had many visitations from a number of men over my lifetime. She is tired and she wants to rest. Another woman jumped up. My womb wants to let go of these tumors. They are heavy and they hurt. I asked the womb to speak through the women and say what they wanted for them. I want to stop cursing the men I want her to stop cursing the men in her life and to pray for a light heart. And another speaks, I want to eat foods that are natural, and I want her to fast from toxic foods. And another, I love her. I want to be here for her. I'm frightened because I'm about to cut out of her. Woman after woman got up and just cried as their womb spoke and they listened. I'm so full, it hurts. I must share before I explode. A woman is a little uptight and resistant about this womb talk business. She breathes in and opens up her mouth to exhale. Her womb speaks through her and to her in one word, stop. There in the back of the center, the women began sharing their experiences. They wailed in turmoil. Regardless of their story, we did not judge one another. We were open and helpful. We were relieved to be able to connect to our wombs and share our womb stories. And finally, we were unsilencing the voices of our wombs. In the front of the center, three men were purchasing products, and my assistant was in the office. Although they could not hear the woman's actual words, they heard the wails from the circle of women. Each man had their own reaction. One leaned up against the wall and bowed his head. The second leaned on the counter in a respectful silence. The third sat down and covered his eyes with his sunglasses. and my assistant quietly wept. One of the women in the circle had come with her baby. Suddenly, she left the circle and went to the center and asked my assistant to hold the child. As she walked back to the healing circle, she seemed to be on the edge. Letting go something deep within, she began to wail. No more, no more, no more. Time stood still. When she finished releasing, I had come to her side and asked her if she was ready to share her story. And she said, I am ready. I guide her towards the 54 women who cradled her back to the womb healing circle. She held her head up high bravely, and slowly she spoke about what happened to her from the age of 7 to 15 years old. She told her story in this safe place to the ocean of women who poured love unto her wounded womb soul. This woman spoke not only for herself but for many. Because of her courage to speak out, many women have experienced healing that day. She dried her tears and said, I just want to go, let go, and heal. And in their own way, even the men purchasing their products received the healing that day. Queen Afua. I say that with tears in my eyes because it moves me. And what we've all shared here today moves other people. And for her to talk about the men who were there and who experienced it and how they received their healing just by being there was amazing. And it just goes to show you that when you share your stories, even with some of the men in your life, they can be changed and transformed. And some of it can change their lives in order to change their diet, and especially husbands who are with women who are on this journey. It will change them if you just let them in. If you just let them fully understand the scope of what we've been through. And for the young lady who has been abused from 7 to 15 years old, can you imagine the pain that she was harboring inside of her for all these many years? The pain that she has been harboring through relationship, probably with failed relationships that she didn't even begin to heal those relationships because she didn't even know what was going on. And it wasn't until she put her baby down and wailed out no more. We have to trust our intuition. We have to learn the inner parts of ourselves so that we can be able to connect. And by doing that, we have to remove all these things that cause distraction, that keep us from doing what we need to do to take care of ourselves. When we take care of our grown children in one instance, when we take care of people who are in our lives, the sisters and brothers and family members who need our assistance all the time, and it always seems to be the same ones that need us all the time, and we always do the same things all the time, but we don't do the things that are necessary in order to build and bring us up. We have to go to those places of shutting them down, not because we don't love them or we don't want to help them, because we want to help them. Because if we don't help ourselves, we can't help them. And if we don't help ourselves, we will hurt them, whether it be in lashing out or whether we hurt ourselves and we experience dying here on this earth and they no longer have us. We have to put ourselves in the forefront. Ladies, it is time to heal. Our stories are healing. Share them with many. Share them with our young women. Share it with our elders. Some of our elders are still holding on to stuff that they were holding on to when they were children. Share your stories. Stop being afraid. Let go. Help our women heal so we can help our men and our children and our people. And I'm going to leave it at that. We have like 2 minutes left. I just want to wrap up a few shows that I'm on during the course of the week. Tomorrow I will be on Happy Hour with the crew with Elevation Radio, and I will post information to the event page. Please join us. We begin at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Happy Hour is just having a good time and enjoying the discussion that our bartender, T-Hawk, he's going to pull a discussion from behind the bar, and we're going to kick it and have a good time. On Tuesday, my Elevation Radio family has Getting It In show where they talk about current issues and events, and they have a topic that I don't know exactly what the topic is this week, but I will post that to the page. On Wednesday, I will continue with my chakra series. It's been an excellent series, and we're going to continue with the third eye, our sixth chakra. We're going to talk about our intuition and so many other things. And on Thursday, we have the King Me Show, which is at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with my brothers Nasir, T-Hawk, and, oh, my gosh, my other brother Amir, and I will be joining them. And then we have our Queen Me Show, which is every Saturday at 12 p.m., where we talk about topics in relation to building the sisterhood. So please join us. Thank you so much for listening in on the call, ladies and gentlemen, and we will resume again next week. Peace.